the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Abuna Marco, would you like to give us a talk, please? Short word, please. Abuna, please. The gospel today is a very beloved story that all of us know and hear it many times, but it touches the heart very much because it is about a lady, very likely young lady, that was sinful. The gospel started that there was a lady that was sinful. So at the instant that this story happened, she was not sinful. She repented. And she came mainly to give thanks to the Lord. So she didn't come to repent. She already repented and she was already forgiven. She came to give thanks to the Lord. And the way she gave thanks to the Lord is that she collected... No, it's okay. She collected all possibly her possession in life, which is a perfume that is known to be at that time dearer than gold, and she came to pour it at the feet of the Lord. She entered the house while the Lord was there in hospitality of Simon. Who is that Simon? Is that same Simon the leper or not? There is argument about that in people that comment, but don't quote me, but my opinion, it is the same Simon. How many Simons will be in Beit Ania? How many people in Beit Simon that pouring of the perfume on his feet? So very likely it's the same person. People say, how come that he is Pharisee and leper? He was not leper at the time. My understanding is that he was hit by leprosy after that. That's why, you know, when the Bible was written, it was written about 20 years after the events. So he was known to be Simon the leper, but possibly at the time he was not leper. Because even with Simon the leper, it's not written that the Lord healed him. And it's not acceptable that the Lord will visit a person that is with leprosy and he goes without healing him. So if you combine this together, very likely what I'm saying is true, that he is Simon the leper, and it's only one Simon in Bethania, and this story happened with Mariam, Martha's sister. She was sinful, and she repented, and she came, and she poured herself on the feet of the Lord. And all over the history, it became for us a very good chance to understand the nature of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at his nature. He entered the house with the purpose to meet her. She came from the back. Why from the back? Because very likely she belonged to the family. So the way she entered, Simon couldn't prevent her from coming because she belongs to the family, very likely. And the Lord said that since I came to the house, she didn't stop this. So maybe that she was in the house before he came. But anyway, he was sitting for dinner and she came from the back. How come that she came from the back and cries on his feet? Because the people at that time, when they sit on a very short table and they sit on the ground. And they have something to, like a pillow, to lean on. So they sit and they keep their feet at the back. And as I said, I hope that one artist one day will do it. Because I didn't see an icon like that. They sit in a round, around a small table, and they tuck their feet at the back. So she came from the back, he doesn't see her, and she starts crying at his feet. And we know that the hair of the woman is symbolic of her dignity, her honor, and she put that dignity at the feet of the Lord. And because of that, she became symbolic for all of us. I remember after I was ordained, there was a bishop that attended my ordination, and he approached me to a side and said to me, if you like, to serve the Lord in a way that the Lord will love you always, have this woman as your symbol, as your model, role model. Why? Because she poured her dignity at the feet of the Lord, and the Lord raised her. If you see this, the conversation that happened between the Lord and Simon, and try to find why the Lord is speaking this way. The Lord likes Simon to repent. He liked this lady to live in repentance. So he was very, very gentle to Simon. The way he spoke to Simon is extremely gentle. Simon was almost forced to invite him. It was not out of his own desire. Very likely it was forced on him. There is one author, very famous, that said that very likely Simon was Martha's husband. But there is no proof for that. So he may have been forced to invite the Lord Jesus Christ to come in. However, the Lord dealt with him in a very gentle way. Dealing with him gently, he said, for example, you answered correctly. And he gave him a very nice parable saying, well, look, there are two people that borrowed money. One of them borrowed 50 and the other 500. And he mentioned that as if Simon has minor debt compared to the other debt of that lady. Which is very gentle from the Lord, if you think about it. He doesn't like to embarrass him. He says to him, you are sinful, but you are not as sinful as others. You are less sinful, which is very nice. And when he answered correctly, he said, you correctly answered. So the Lord liked to combine all of them. And he ended by telling him, well, look, I came to your house, you didn't put water to my feet, but this lady washed my feet with her tears. And you didn't kiss me. You didn't kiss my mouth or my face. But this lady, since I arrived, she didn't stop kissing my feet. And that's the reason that her sins are forgiven. Not at that instant, but the Lord meant that the type of love that people have can forgive their sins. This, whenever I read this story and other things, I have a great nice feeling that whatever sin I do, if my love to the Lord is sufficient, it will be wiped. You know that when we say that the love covers many sins, that includes my own sin. Because when I love the Lord, even if I'm sinful, the Lord will forgive me. An example like that is David the psalmist. He fell in a horrible sin, but his tremendous love to the Lord made the Lord overlook his sin. So you and I that sometimes feel that we are sinful, the key for the forgiveness is the love towards God. I may be weak, not capable to resist sin, but still because I love the Lord will overlook my mistakes and uplift me. The other thing is that when the Lord forgives, he forgives and forgets. And that's also another thing that we should always understand, that instead of punishment, he gives honor. That this lady has been honored. He said that wherever the gospel will be preached, this story will be said. Why? Honor for her. And that also another evidence for me that it's only one lady, not many, as some people explain. Because who will he give the honor to if there are two ladies that poured the perfume on the feet of the Lord? Very likely it's only one lady, and the Lord said that I'll honor her. By whenever the gospel is preached, this lady will be honored. So simply repentance uplifts us from the level of being dirty and despised to the level of being honored by the Lord. And this was new. I remember Buddha Mark was telling us one story about his colleague at work that is not Christian, I think Buddhist, that did something bad and his conscience was very hurting. And the Buddha told him, why not to think of repentance and forgiveness? He said, nothing like that in our religion. In their religion, there's nothing like that. When you do a sin, there's nothing called forgiveness. You carry the burden the rest of your life. Not in Christianity, thanks to the Lord. Why? Because the debt has been paid. Someone has to pay the debt. God is fair. And if I do a sin, there must be punishment. But instead of me being punished, the Lord will be punished instead of me. And he did carry the punishment, and then he forgives and forgets. Does the Lord really forget? Yes. Why people deny to the Lord the qualities that he says, I am? You know that sometimes we put attributes to the Lord that are not real. For example, we say that the Lord will never forget. His memory is... No, he opts to forget. So possibly if I die now and I go to the Lord and I say, forgive me for this sin, he may say, what sin? What sin? Has been forgotten because you paid you asked for forgiveness, and once the Lord gives us the forgiveness, he forgets. And this is great joy for us to understand that repentance uplifts us from the bottom of being despised in the eyes of everyone, including myself and people around me, to the level of being honored. Something surprises me about the Coptic Church in the West. Who are the most famous Coptic saints in the West? There are a number of churches in America named after Coptic saints. You know who is the most common? The most common churches after the names of Coptic saints are St. Moses the Black and St. Mary the Egyptian. And St. Anthony. So imagine that the most famous churches in the whole world are the stories of people that were very, very sinful and they repented. So simply the message that we get from the Bible, why did St. Luke record this story for us? In order to give us that feeling that if you came to the church with the feeling of guilt, feeling of sin, go out from the church with the feeling of honor. Why that honor? Because when the Lord forgives, he uplifts. Instead of punishing, he actually gives gifts. I said this story to some of you before, I may repeat it again. I remember one lady that came to me long time ago, and she doesn't speak Arabic. And she confessed, she's married, and she confessed that she committed adultery. And she's a very honorable lady, very high standard. So I told her, the Lord will give you a lot of gifts. She said, you didn't understand. She thought because she speaks English, I couldn't understand. And then she said it clearly, I committed adultery. Because in the first, she told me something that chose adultery, but she didn't use the word adultery. And when she observed or imagined that I didn't understand, she said, I committed adultery. I said, I understood. Then she said, why? Why did you understand that I committed adultery and say that the Lord will give me presents? He should punish me. I said, no, it's not the way. The fact that you came, embarrassed yourself, put yourself down to the extent that honorable lady like her, for no reason, to come to embarrass herself to that extent in front of a priest, revealing a very dirty thing that she did, she must receive an honor. After a short time, she came back to me and she said, surprisingly, what you did happened. I got promotion at work. She got list of good things that happened to her out of this, which made her very, very surprised. But that's the case. That's the case, and it was repeated a number of times. It can be repeated with any one of us. When you repent, honestly, in front of God, you don't get punishment, you get the rewards. Instead of negative things, you get positive things. And this is an amazing thing. Also, I always say that the work of the Holy Spirit will be clear in the heart of a person that is really repenting and revealing his sins as they are, not trying to cover up for that. Every time a person comes and exposes his or her sinful situation honestly in front of God, this person definitely receives the power of the Holy Spirit. I just say, repeat one last story, and we started the Mass. It just happened to me at St. Mark Church when I came 35 years ago to Australia. I thought that I'll start fresh to reveal all my sinful past and start fresh in this country. And I came to St. Mark Church, and Abuna Moses, the man, was encircling the church with incense. And I don't know him, I don't know anyone. I said that I'll confess with the first priest that I'll see. And I told him, can I find the time for confession? He said, now, come inside. I went inside and I confessed all my history in 5 minutes, pouring the dirty things, of course, because confession is like that. You don't try to decorate your past. And I thought that this would be a good start. And I left, he didn't comment, and I had the feeling that I don't know why he didn't comment or didn't give punishment. Usually you receive penance when you say something dirty. And after a few minutes I was sitting in the church at the back, in the Arabic church, and he sent to me a deacon and said, Abuna is asking you. I went inside really expecting that he'll give me penance. Penance means something to be done like fasting, matanias, something like that. So I went expecting him to give a form of punishment because of that, what I said. And he shocked me by saying, I'm tired, please take the sermon today. I was surprised about this very much. And I asked him after 20 years of this event, what do you still remember? I said, I do remember. I said, why did you say to me, give the sermon after I told you these dirty things? He said, because the Holy Spirit was working with you, and to tell the truth, that's the day that I thought to nominate you for priesthood. Something very, very surprising, that when a person reveals his mistakes and starts to repent, he will be elevated from the lower level to the highest level in no time. And that's exactly what happened to this lady. In heaven, we'll see this lady glorious, that lady that poured the perfume at the feet of the Lord. And instead of, if we compare her status to Simon, the Pharisee, then sure, we expect this lady to be very high, because the Lord said that whenever the gospel will be preached, it will be this story will be mentioned as an honor for her. So we ask the Lord, whenever this, by the way, this gospel is repeated many, many times in the church, many times. Why? Because of the importance of the event. It's very important to understand that when I come and pour myself on the feet of the Lord, asking for forgiveness, this will change from the depths of filth to the high value of being pure and honored. We never say that I am not sinful, but I can say I'm clean. There is great difference between being sinful and being clean. I am clean not because I don't dirty my clothes, but I am clean because I wash it. Understand that. We are clean not because we don't sin, but we are clean because we repent. Pope Shenouda used to say to the youth, the Lord at the last day may not ask you why did you sin, but he'll ask you why didn't you repent. So if you say sin is conquering me, but why don't you repent? Why don't you confess and get this wiped from your life? May the Lord accept our repentance. Glory be to his name forever. Amen.